Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary Fellowship River Oaks this morning. What a beautiful ordination service we've had today, and so thrilled that you all came out to join us and support Calvary Fellowship River Oaks as we are moving forward in the plan that God's called us to do. If you have your Bibles with us this morning, if you'll go ahead and open up to Acts chapter 10, we're going to begin our study there in verse 1. But recapping last week, we finished Acts chapter 9, and we saw Peter went out touring the churches, making sure they were teaching and making sure they were in the gospel, teaching the gospel and moving in the Spirit as they were taught, as they were planted. We saw Aeneas healed after 8 years, paralyzed in his bed. And then we saw Tabitha raised from the dead. Now we see that God is beginning to open the door to the Gentiles and to all who will believe and be saved. So beginning in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." So here we meet Cornelius the centurion. He's a man held in high regard, and he was a devout man who feared God and offered alms or prayers up to God. So let's look at his position firstly. A centurion was a ruler of 100 men. Two Greek words referenced here. The first word is hekatontarches, and the second word, hekatontarchos, means the captain of 100 men, or centurion. Now, in the New Testament, the centurions were usually presented favorably. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, we'll read about a centurion that came to Jesus. In verse 5, it says, "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" Now, Cornelius was a God-fearing man, and even though he had not been born again as of yet, his heart was not self-righteous. He truly cared for the people around him, and he worshipped and prayed regularly. Now, he was living in Caesarea, which is a strong city, lately re-edified and fortified by Herod the Great. And it was called Caesarea in honor of Augustus Caesar. It was on the seashore, which was very convenient for the keeping up of the correspondence between Rome and its conquest in that area. The Roman governor or proconsul ordinarily resided there. Here there was a regiment of the Roman army, which probably was a governor's lifeguard. And it's here called the Italian regiment because they might be more sure of their fidelity. They were all native Romans or Italians. Cornelius had a command in this part of the army, and his name Cornelius was used among the Romans, among some of the most ancient and noble families. And he was an officer of considerable rank and figure. So looking here closely at our text in verses 3 through 6, here Cornelius saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. And he said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. I think I would be a little afraid too if I was laying in my bed or had a vision of the Lord speaking to me, an angel of the Lord speaking to me and calling my name. I think I would be very nervous and very afraid and say, yeah, well, what is it, Lord? Notice Cornelius recognized the Lord even though he was still not saved as of yet. But the Holy Spirit was already working and brought this vision to him. Now, God hears our prayers when we're praying for others and giving God praise. And God knew the heart of Cornelius. His prayers were sincere and it pleased God. One commentary in reference to where it says, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. That is, as a sacrifice well-pleasing unto God, as an odor of sweet smell or fragrance. In other words, very aromatic. Not to be confused with Aramaic. Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In Philippians 4:18, it says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then Revelations 8:3-4 says, then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. These prayers are not only pleasing to God, they're also effective. God welcomes our prayers. He loves it when we pray. If you remember, the real purpose of our creation was to be in fellowship with Him. And now, through prayer, we are in fellowship with Him, and He loves that. He loves that time that we spend in prayer and putting our alms before the Lord and reaching out to others. Remember, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So as you're praying and you're seeking the Lord in that relationship with Jesus, He hears those prayers and He welcomes them in that relationship. And when you're actually praying for others and reaching out on others' behalf, that is giving alms to the Lord on others' behalf. And He honors that and He respects that. In James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So our prayers are not only received, but they are effective. God hears them, and He moves with our prayers. In 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes are the Lord of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we see we have some insight on who Cornelius was, and we see that God is reaching out to him in this vision. And God truly knows the heart of all men. He knows those who long for a relationship with Him, and He woos those to Himself. Even when we sin, He searches us out. He knows our hearts, and though we stumble and though we fall, God still loves us, and He still reaches out to us. In Genesis 3:8-10 gives us the very first example of this. This is Adam and Eve in the garden. In verse 8 it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you, Adam? God knew where he was. God knew that they had tripped and fallen, and they had sinned and done the very thing that he had asked them not to do while they were in the garden. They tried to hide themselves from God. They tried to put themselves in a place to where they knew good and evil, and they were trying to hide themselves and put themselves away from God. But God knew where they were. He's wooing them. He's reaching out to them, calling them back to himself. And unfortunately, because of the fall in the garden, the relationship could not be the same. But there's still relationship. And that's what's important to remember. He still loves us. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." Jeremiah 29:13. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart, with all of your heart." It's a two-way street. Man today may deny the existence of God. Man today may say that God is not real. But deep in every man's heart is a desire for God. Some call him a higher power. Some call him just something that that they find within themselves. It's not the truth, because there's only one God. And there's only one Jesus who died for all man's sins that reconciles us back to God the Father. But there's a longing in every man's heart. They just don't recognize what it is. And until they submit themselves unto God, into that relationship through Jesus Christ, they won't know. But they need to seek Him with their whole heart. So we ask ourselves, who can hide from the Lord? He knows all hearts. He knows all things. A couple of weeks ago, we read Psalms 139. Verse 1 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." And in verse 7 it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" Verses 23 through 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Are we attempting to hide from God? If you truly want what God wants for your life, but you're trying to do it yourself, your way, He'll seek you out. And He'll find you. But you have a choice. Are you going to submit to the one who is calling for you? Are you going to submit to God the Father through Jesus Christ? Are you going to continue to fight against God and kick against the goads? Remember, we talked about that earlier on with Saul's conversion, when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul was very convicted, and he knew the Lord at that particular moment had called him out. And Jesus told him, "Why are you kicking against the goads?" And remember, the goads were that sharp stick that the farmers would use with the oxen. And when the ox would rebel and try to kick back, he would kick back into that sharp stick, and it would hurt. It was painful. God is telling us that we need to submit now before it becomes more painful. Don't kick against God's authority. Don't continue to say you know what's best for your life. Don't continue to put yourself in a position to where you are arguing and fighting against God. You will not win. You cannot win against God, because He loves you too much. And His love for you is more in-depth and stronger than anything that can come against you. But you still have a choice. You still have a choice to fight against Him or to go with Him. It's amazing to me that as many trials as we have in our lives, and every man has them, whether they submit to God or whether they don't submit to God, every man has those struggles and those trials in their life. And every man has a choice to whether how is he going to deal with those struggles and those trials. Is he going to submit to God and allow God to take those struggles and work through him and bring change in his life for the good? Remember Romans? It says, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to His purpose. According to His purpose. That is a truly submissive statement. When you come to the place to where you really recognize that you are submitting to God according to His purpose in your life. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. One might say, well, I don't want to be controlled by God. I don't want to be owned by God. I don't want to be in that place to where I can't make my own decisions. And I would encourage you, if that's your thought process, to examine your heart and examine your life. Are you happy with the consequences of the life that you've chosen? Are you content where you are with the wonderful control that you have over your own life? The pain and the suffering that you've experienced, and not just on your own, but for others, they've experienced it too. The choices that we make in our lives bring us to that place where we are hurting. And I understand that you might say, well, other people have hurt me. I'm suffering because of other people's sin. I'm suffering because of what other people have done. Yes, that's true. There are a lot of things that happen to us that are literally out of our control. However, when we choose to forgive and we choose to submit to God through forgiveness of those that have hurt us, and that is a big step. By forgiving others, we are free to forgive ourselves and we're free to walk in peace. But without that forgiveness and without that recognition that we need God in our lives and that we need to be submissive to Him, then we're carrying that burden on our own. And that anger and that bitterness swells within us. And because of that anger and bitterness, we draw up into ourselves and we say, no, we're going to fight this and we're going to do it our way. And we're not going to let anybody else control our lives and we're going to be happy. Well, how's that working out for you? It can't be working well because within man, there's no way that he can bring himself into a righteous place. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. But God knows our hearts. And God knows what our needs are. And He hears our prayers and He responds to them. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, there was a vision to Daniel, and it says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. There was an angel that was sent to Daniel immediately when Daniel was praying, very specifically, intently. But he was detained for 21 days in the heavenly realm, fighting with the prince of the power of the air, prince of Persia. And he called for help, and another angel arrived, and he was able to come and minister to Daniel. So it's very important that we realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. And even though God hears our prayers, there's an enemy who's out there trying to discourage our prayers and trying to fight against the very thing that God wants and what God is doing. Stay with the course. Keep your heart focused upon the Lord. Keep your heart focused on the fact that He hears you. Don't listen to the enemy that would lie to you and say, well, God hadn't answered that prayer yet. And God hadn't answered that prayer yet. So why are you continuing to pray? Why are you continuing to seek out a God who's not listening? That is a lie from the pit of hell. God does listen. And He answers. And the very prayers that you're offering up unto God for other people right now, God is working and He's moving. But understand this, that other people have free choice and free will also. And they may be kicking against the goads as you have been. They may be fighting against God as you have done. God can only work in those who are willing to submit and be worked through. God loves us that much. He doesn't create robots. He creates willing vessels to seek Him out and to trust Him. But we do have to humble ourselves before the Lord. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Well, how or why do we need to be lifted up? Because to humble yourself means that you're probably in a situation of strife and struggle, and in your own pride, trying to deal with it your own way. And when we submit to God and humble ourselves before Him, and we say, "Oh Lord, I recognize that I cannot fight this battle. And I recognize that I'm not in control. And I recognize that unless I submit myself unto You, that I will continue into this place of despair." And God says, humble yourselves in His sight, and He will lift you out of that despair. You can't lift yourself out. Oh, you can have moments of highs, and you can have moments of joy or peace in your own strength. Moments, brief moments. But understand that those brief moments cannot sustain you. Only God Himself, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, which lives in you, can sustain you. He will lift you up. He will guard your steps. He will be the light upon your path and the lamp unto your feet. He loves you that much. And He wants to be in relationship with you. He's the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd calls His lambs together. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Are you His sheep this morning? Are you the sheep of His pasture? You know, sheep are not really bright. They're not really a smart animal. They kind of hover together most of the time and follow each other around and do whatever. And there'll be some that stray off. They'll wander off and get into trouble on their own. But one thing about sheep is that when a shepherd is over them, they know His voice. And they will follow that shepherd. If He calls, they will come. If another one calls, they won't come because they don't recognize that voice. But as God's sheep, He speaks truth into us through His Word. And that's the first way that you're going to hear His voice, is through God's Word. I encourage you to stay in the Word. Study His Word. Meditate on His Word day and night. Don't let a day go by to where you're not pondering on the Word of the Lord. And secondly, the Spirit of God, who dwells in you as the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you believe in Him and you receive Him, you receive His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit is there to guide you in the ways of righteousness and to teach you. He's your teacher. He's your counselor. And as He teaches you and He counsels you, He does that primarily through the Word. And there will be times He will give you words of wisdom and words of knowledge. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit will never speak to you. God will never speak to you in contradiction to His Word. If what He gives you does not line up to the Word of God, then you need to test that Spirit and send it away. Because God is consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He knows that He will never contradict Himself. He's never wrong. And He always comes forth with the truth, and He confirms it in His Word. So I ask you to keep your heart open to that. Listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit through His Word and through your prayers. God will comfort you in your prayers. And one of the things that He will comfort you mostly in is when you're praying for others. It's amazing when you come before the Lord and you're heavy at heart. And you have all of these things that's coming against you in the world. And you've got your whole entire being is being attacked, if you will, by the enemy. But when you're praying for other people, there's peace. You begin to stop looking at yourselves and looking at others, and there's hope and there's peace there. And God hears you, and He comforts you. And His sheep hears His voice. They know Him, and they follow Him. So my question this morning, are you His sheep this morning? Have you submitted to Jesus Christ? Have you come to Him in your own heart and in your own mind and submitted yourself before the Lord and saying, Lord, I recognize that I cannot do this, and I recognize that I am kicking against the goads, if you will, that I am going against Your authority? Have you said, I need You in my life, Lord Jesus? I want to submit to You, and I want to believe in You, and I want to trust in You. And I'm not just saying this with words from your mind. I'm saying from your heart. Have you believed? Have you connected with Him? Have you believed in your whole heart that He is who He said He is, that He will do what He says He will do? If that's the case, then you're His sheep. And you hear His voice through His Word. I encourage you to stay in His Word. I encourage you to stay in prayer and stay in fellowship one with another so that we may encourage one another. If you're not one of His sheep, if you've never asked Him to come into your heart and never asked Him to seek you out and to change your heart and to submit unto Him and to everything that He has for you, now's the time. Don't wait another day. We don't know what tomorrow brings. The world that we live in is in very, very chaotic shape. It's in despair. And it's crumbling around us. The world governments are all crumbling around us. The financial institutions are crumbling around us. And man can't fix it. Whether you're Democrat or Republican in this country, you can't fix this problem. We need Jesus. We need to be His sheep. Father, as we close today, we just ask that Your Spirit would speak to the hearts of those who will hear this message. Lord, we know that You hear us. We know that You seek us out. We know that Your Word is strong within our hearts. And we know, Lord, that we cannot deny the presence of God. Even nature itself bears witness to the Creator. We don't worship the creation, but we worship the Creator. And we come, Lord, and we worship You, and we love You, and we praise You. Father, may You bring all of those into Yourself that will come. We pray for the lost. We pray for the needy. We pray for all of Your children, Lord, who are struggling and who are hurting, Lord. We lift them up to You. And even those who haven't received You yet, we pray for them, Lord, that Your heart would connect with theirs and they would receive You and they would understand You and that they would follow You as Your sheep, the great shepherd. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Thank You for being our shepherd. Thank You for leading us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for writing Your Word upon our heart that we may be able to be sustained day in and day out. We love You and we praise You. We sing glory to Your name. We sing praises to Your name. And we recognize that it's Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who brings us into relationship with God the Father, redeems us back. We love You. We thank You. And we glorify Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.